knock on our door.
Knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today, like the last 2 weeks, is my good friend Hal Sparks, star of Lab Rats, VH1, Queer as Folk, and oh my God, so many other television shows, and of course, the stand-up stage, and Hal's own band, 01. Hal, how are you today?
I'm spectacular, but I'll get better. And I, it's interesting. I think one of the most appropriate things that I've done that kind of links into this is Dude, Where's My Car? Which I think comedically is probably as close to the ballpark of Three's Company as anything I've done, simply on its absurdist notion. You know
what
I mean?
Oh, my God. I mean, there would be no Dude, Where's My Car without Three's Company.
That's right. I insist.
Yeah.
And since it's my I think it's my last week on the show for, a little while, I need to fanboy out for 1 second and say what a huge fan I am of yours. And I am in awe of your musical talent. And I will be bragging about the fact that I was on your Three's Company podcast when I have lunch with Richard Marx today. So,
whoa.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is super cool. Well, thank you very much, Hal. Thanks a lot for that.
Absolutely. He and I are both Chicagoans, and it like weird line of things hit in a Three's Company kind of notion. My ex-girlfriend, my high school girlfriend, used to babysit his kids in Chicago.
Wow.
Ages ago. Like, he wouldn't know me from that or whatever, obviously. But
no.
But talk about come and knock on our door. Anyways, this is the reason why he's on his second wife, I think. But he would tell you that faster than I would. There you go.
Knock on our door.
And this show is for every man who has fallen off a bicycle looking at a beautiful woman, I think, really.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
We've all been.
Season 3, Episode 18, The Harder They Fall. It aired February 20th, 1979, directed by Dave Powers, written by Al Gordon, Jack Mendelsohn, and Susan Sisko. Janet brings a date back to the apartment, but as Jack and Chrissy are making plans to go out, Jack breaks his leg and must stay home. Hal, what'd you think of The Harder They Fall?
I like this one. I thought this was, had a much better idea of interaction between the three of them as roommates working together to help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
And it got, Janet got a little bit more of her due time. You know, it was obvious that over the last few episodes, she hadn't quite gotten as much to do. So they gave her a potential boyfriend and a major fail, which is great in comedy.
Yeah.
And her, like, it basically opens with a this is Janet's episode, because she's in the flower shop.
Mm-hmm.
This guy comes in who looks like a local TV anchor man. Like that idea, that 70s idea of the perfect man.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
How are you? This is my beige tie or whatever. And he comes in for something he ordered a while back, and he's big on plants.
Which is, that's odd. That should be a red flag right there.
Seriously. Yeah. These days that would get you maced. If you just,
yeah.
But not Janet, man. She's like practically it's a good thing most of the flowers around her had thorns or she'd have slept with the guy right on the counter.
Right.
And she's like doe-eyed and got her hand on her chin, like looking up at him from the desk. It's like daddy issues. And then she magically took all the ferns home. They don't have any ferns in this flower shop. But if you want to come to my house and look at my ferns, just the most grandiose, overt, and that would be another red flag. If I was the dude and the lady at the flower shop was just like, oh, my God, oh, man, and then want to come to my house and look at some plants, I'd be like, this chick is crazy. Yeah. Da-da-da-do. And but ultimately, you know, it, and it's that night, by the way. Again, I get off at 6:30.
Yeah, let's do this ASAP.
Yeah, and then I got to call my roommates and basically deal with the premise that the entire show is based on, that people will freak out if they know that I live in a space with another girl and a guy.
Yeah.
Because, oh, my God.
God forbid. You know, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I thought there was one missed beat in this, and I want to know if you thought it was the same one. When the guy comes out of Jack's bedroom, the Roper's already think that he's going to Mr. Roper thinks he's going to sue him.
Right. Yeah.
And he thinks, oh, it's a lawyer. And I was like, wait a minute. A guy just came out of Jack's bedroom. We have this whole running gag that Roper makes all these like anti-gay jokes, is completely homophobic. And then a man walks out of Jack's bedroom. Where's that joke? Like, they had to break Jack's leg just to keep from doing it.
Well, I'm with you on that, but I would say that beyond, you know, being kind of homophobic, Stanley is more concerned about his money. There's a real
poor man's Jack Benny.
Yeah, like he's definitely, you know, cheap, and they make sure the show makes sure that the audience knows that. So that could be the, and he's freaking out. He didn't get any sleep the night before, so maybe he just can't see straight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll give him a break on that one. I just still think there was an opportunity for even hey, you said you weren't going to be doing that in the, you promised me you wouldn't be doing that business. You know, you two guys doing that kind of business in my, apartment building. A moment, he's like, I'm not his boyfriend. You're his lawyer. You know what I mean? There could have been that tip-off joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe they pitched it around, writers' rooms being what they are. Mm-hmm. Like, nah, let's just get to it. We're going to run out of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think it's again, another title of the show that has a very unsubtle sexual reference. The harder they fall.
True.
And a great piece of physical comedy from Jack, apropos of nothing, where he's just playing basketball. He just decides, let's go to the basketball game. Okay. And then acting out the basketball game, falls down a flight of stairs.
Like,
goes out the door.
Yeah. I never thought of that. Like, even a child would know that the stairs are near.
They're right there.
Yeah.
And how excited is he to finally go see a basketball game with Chrissy, which they've been wanting to see that we didn't know about, you know?
Yeah. And this is all if Larry still has the tickets, right?
Right. Which we don't even know. They're super excited. Right. But ultimately, it doesn't matter because he falls down, breaks his leg. And the stairs were wet because Roper had been hosing them down, cleaning them off.
Right.
And hadn't put up his caution cone, I guess.
Yeah.
And then we deal with the fact that they're back at the apartment, but Jack's in pain and a physical comedy so he can hurt his foot again.
Yeah.
And then they come home. They've got to be quiet in the room. And it's like, that noise came from that room. Who could possibly be in there? You know, it's like the anchor man decides to be heroic.
Yeah.
And barge in on this other room in her apartment, you know, like where she would, I guess, be keeping her cats as a lonely woman living in a big apartment.
Yeah. Like, you just walked into the stranger's place. You have no idea what's going on. Why would you even dare?
Yeah.
Walk into the,
this.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you why. Comedy.
Yeah.
That's 100% why.
Yeah.
But I do like the juxtaposition in this one of Jack being physically harmed, like in pain and trying not to make noise. And then ultimately this odd story of, you know, it doubling back on itself of, you didn't think you were just going to get some, did you? Of course he did. Are you out of your mind? She's practically undressing in the flower shop. I get off at 6:30. Like, she, literally, I mean, for God's sake, there was no way sex wasn't going to happen. And so her, I don't know who her faux, like, you didn't, what kind of girl do you think I am? I think you're the kind of girl who picks up a guy at her job and invites her back to her apartment, him back to her apartment that night. That's that's the kind of girl I think you are, because that's what happened.
Yeah, like it's you know, the episode tries to make this guy Greg Halliday as a creep, but the way you put it, you kind of sympathize with him. It's like, well, what would you do? What would you think?
He didn't jump her. I mean, he didn't pull like the president of the company before. He just thought they were gonna fool around because she invited him back to her place, and the idea that he was being castigated for.
Yeah.
Like, oh. How dare you think that? Like, I didn't act on it. I just thought it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, give me a break. I kind of felt like, and again, there's something to the sort of Munsters aspect of Three's Company, is that other people get pulled into this crazy tractor beam of these three people. You know what I mean? Because they care about each other. They live in their own little world. You know what I mean? There's this bizarre kind of isolated environment. These three people trying to save on rent, you know, lying about the sexuality of one of the guys, even though for all practical purposes, they wouldn't care if Chrissy and Janet were lesbians. Like, that never would have bothered Roper or made him deny them rent in this circumstance. But the idea that this is how this had to happen. This was a premise that somebody read about. Somebody said, you know, it's illegal in California still for a guy in a, like, you'd have to pretend to be, this is like a bosom buddies premise, one tier down. Right. And somebody said, you'd have to, you know, you want to get in those apartments, you have to get a roommate, but they're, you know, most of the people who already have those apartments are women, and they won't let you move in unless you're married, because the guy who owns the place is nuts. There's a place in Pasadena that is probably the reason, the idea where this came from. Where it was, the building's been in the family for so long. It's this enormous building, great old apartments, and they're super sought after. There's a waiting list and all this stuff. But to get in back then, if you wanted to be a roommate with a woman you weren't in a relationship with, you weren't married to, this is back when you had to put Mr. and Mrs. Smith on a hotel registry, right? You had to be married to rent a hotel room. This premise is enormous back then, but it's insane by modern standards.
Right?
But everybody in the outside world's getting sucked into this, like, these crazy people trying to live this phony, you know, trying to cheat this landlord out of, you know, like, basically charge him a bigotry tax, which is effectively what they're doing. You know, and then all these people who experience these crazy people and go, I got to get out of here. These people are nuts, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's what this guy, I felt more like that guy fell into this zone of things.
He, in his head, he won Janet's attention by throwing out a line like, lovely name, Janet. Like, he complimented her name, which is, and got her that way. Like, got.
Yeah. Which I don't understand at all. Like, what? No, it isn't. Somebody ruined the name Jane is how Janet came out. Jane is a lovely name. It's fluid. It's flowing. Jane, you know, and then this steaming of the ferns. Can we get into this whole again? This is where I don't necessarily fault him, because they're in a steamy bathroom to get. You got to steam your ferns, right? They need water.
See, I have no opinion on that, because I'm not. I don't have a foot in the plant world. Is that what you do?
Even if it is or isn't, it's still the actions of a guy trying to get laid.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, hey, we went to the bathroom. Oh, it's steaming here. Gosh, my clothes are all damp. We'll catch our death of cold, you know? one of the greatest human beings in the world was our makeup person on Queer as Folk. He's a Canadian. And his pickup line in gay bars was, he would lick his finger, tap it on your shirt, and go, oh my God, we have to get you out of those wet clothes. And I was like, that is genius.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And I felt like that's where this was headed.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're going into the bathroom. It's steamy in there. Mm-hmm. Instead, they used it as a, I can't see, I'm going to fall down, crash. which is great. I have no problem with that. Jack falls down on his leg again. Then the other guy falls and gets his head stuck in a fern. Cool.
Yeah.
They're all walking out, pulling ferns out of their shirts. It's great. Very 70s. Very wackadoodle. But I did expect, there were two jokes I was expecting, which was, we got to get you out of, like, oh, look at that. We both fell into the shower or whatever.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should take a bath while we're in here. Hey, whatever. And then a man walking out of Jack's room. I was so shocked that those missed opportunities. But as a joke writer, that's what I would do. I'm just sitting there, you know, I'm in the pitch room already.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, those jokes might have arisen during, you know, during the writing or the rewriting.
Yeah, and they
or
decided
whatever.
To take them out for whatever reason. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I kind of think like Roper had blinders on. He was so obsessed with not getting
about
sued.
So little money. Yeah. I'll give you $50. Okay, 100. Okay, 200. Okay, 250 is my final offer. Like, we think of people suing when they get injured in the tens of thousands, like owning the building, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He would be the new Roper. That's your Three's Company, the next generation.
You're right.
John Ritter's, you know, Jack Tripper has a building, and he just lets anybody move in. And in trying to make up for the fact that he doesn't want rules like he had to deal with, it's the craziest building in the world. It writes itself.
I think you just did. I think you just, man.
We're going to pitch it. You and I, we'll write it. we know all these backwards and forwards. But yeah, so the fact that he was like 250, that's it. You shysters.
I would have, when I was watching it, now that you bring it up, I was thinking, go for a free month rent, you know, like.
Yeah.
Just take him up on it and just get 1 month rent free and we'll call it even.
Right. But then you'd remove all the tension for the next episode as they desperately try to make rent.
Yeah. Yeah.
As three people living in an apartment, and, you know, in what could they have possibly been paying a month? Was it $200 a month?
You know, I guess he was giving them a month rent then. Because in my head, I thought, oh, it's got to be $500 or something.
Well, yeah, but remember in the episode we spoke of before, in the catering episode.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they had saved up $200 for the rent. Now, I don't know if we're supposed to believe that that's the rent money or that's towards the rent money. And, you know, there's $100 more coming in from regular jobs. And that's how, like, everybody contributes to that. I don't quite, you know. I don't know that we know that. And if you find out, I need to know. You need to tweet me and tell me, oh, we figured it out, how much rent was.
Yeah, well, wasn't Jack trying to come up with his share? And that's why he was able to take the gig and Janet and Chrissy. Maybe it's 300 even. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But he's, yeah, so he's basically offering, you know, he could have said, I'll give you a month's free rent, 2 months, you know, and then hilarity ensues while they have all this other money to spend and they end up, you know, injuring Jack again.
Right.
Or whatever, you know. But I do feel for the, you know, this, the visitor, the outsider.
Greg Halliday. Yeah.
Yeah, Greg. I feel bad for him kind of because I feel like he's like accused of being a masher when he was just following the signs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Janet was totally throwing everything at him like, oh, it's going to happen, buddy. And this is before, bodyscaping was a thing. So showing someone your fern could have been another joke. A little, you know, a harder they fall.
Right. Yeah.
Reference.
Yeah. Yeah. It was 79 after all.
Yeah, that's right. That could have been a 70s Bush reference.
Yeah.
which I wouldn't rule out. Now that I'm thinking about it, I can't not think about it.
Yeah. No, now it's out there. It had to have been a reference to that, to pubic hair.
Yeah, it had to be. Like, you're going to, oh, and watering your, now it just gets terrible. Now, my fern's all steamy. You need your fern watered. Oh my God! Like we're just trapped in double entendre hell, aren't we?
Yeah, which is Three's Company bliss, really.
It is, no question. I mean, it is literally the world where double entendres, you know, were set for. It was like a nature park for double entendres. Let them run wild.
Well, Hal, thanks a lot for knocking on our door these past few weeks. And listen, the door will remain unlocked, just like on the show. Please come back. Please come back and visit us again on the Regal Beagle podcast. You have to come back.
I would love to. I appreciate it. Cheers.